Grace to you and peace this day from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It always strikes me as at least a little bit ironic that it is this time of year, when it's perhaps the darkest that it ever gets, that we celebrate the coming of the light into the world. And now I know there's a good reason for that. I know that we celebrate that light coming into the world in the midst of the darkness because it shows us in a very real way that representation of the way that Christ comes into the darkness of our lives and makes us light and brings his life to us. But much at the same time, it seems hard to celebrate the light when we look outside and all we see is darkness. It even feels a little bit dark in the sanctuary tonight. Maybe it's just the fact that I'm used to the light during the day for worship rather than at night. But nonetheless, it seems a little bit dark, even with all of our extra Christmas decorations. And yet we come to this Epiphany, and as we do so, I want to share with you a little experience that I had in my history. While I was at seminary, as many places do, there was a nativity set that the seminary had set up, a nice tall statues. They were about 3.5-4 feet tall. They were very beautiful, hand-painted and everything. And the nativity set would always be set up each year in a prominent place, right, as folks would come into the seminary. And you would see this beautiful nativity set, a representation of Christ coming into the world, Christ being born. The only problem was that one year they decided they were going to set up that nativity set in whole and have it up for the season of Advent throughout Christmas and into the beginning of Epiphany. Now, the problem with that is that seminary students, despite the fact that they spend most of their time reading books and most often the Bible, sometimes get a wild hair about them. This is a little secret for you. Seminarians aren't the perfect people that we think they are. You see, these seminarians, one day while they were coming in to campus, saw that the three wise men were already in the nativity scene at the beginning of Advent. And they thought that this was just horribly, horribly historically inaccurate because the wise men didn't come until Epiphany. So to be entirely fair, those wise men should be way off on the east side of the campus. And throughout the course of Advent and into the Christmas season, they should slowly make the journey across campus as they made their way to see the Christ child on Epiphany. Now, certainly their hearts weren't necessarily in the wrong place by wanting to move these lovely statues. But at the same time, the morning after they moved to the eastward realms, where they were presumably observing the star rising and noticing that they needed to start on their journey across campus, we got an email from the president's office reminding us that those were very expensive statues. And if we happened to know where they might have disappeared to, it would be good if they undisappeared back to the nativity scene, regardless of whether it was historical or not. Sometimes in our lives, we see things that we think should be right or think that should be changed. We see things that seem like they're out of place. And perhaps because we want to make things right, we change them. Have you ever had a case like that in your life and then it comes back and it bites you? Now, these seminarians had no desire to steal or deprive the seminary campus of these lovely statues. But at the same time, when they disappeared, it was cause for concern. We have fear in our world that it may be the case that someone had stolen them or broken them, that might have been a vandal or something like that. The seminarians weren't trying to cause alarm, and yet they did. So often in our lives, we see things that cause us alarm. So often we come to places in our lives where it's possible for us even to doubt the words of the Gospels, even to doubt the promises that our Lord has so clearly made to us and continues to make to us through his word, through the preaching of his gospel, and as we come to receive his body and blood at this altar. Sometimes we get to a point in our lives where the darkness, just like it is tonight, seems oppressive, and it seems to press in around us, causing us to question, perhaps, that strong faith that the Lord placed in us. I don't know if you've ever had a point like that in your life where you know the gospel, you know the truth of God's promises for you. You don't doubt that at all. But at the same time, it's hard to feel that experience as real in your own life. I hope you've never had that experience, but for those who have, I offer you this. Our Lord came into the world in the midst of darkness in a very ordinary, very normal sort of way. He didn't come with trains of glory before him. He didn't come with a magical light. In fact, he was born in Bethlehem in the middle of Israel, in the middle of the people who should have seen all the signs and knew that he was coming. All of it was there, and all of it was present for them. The same star that led the wise men to Bethlehem wasn't even noticed by the people of God in Bethlehem itself, much less in the rest of Israel. King Herod, the one who should have been told about it, didn't have a clue until these strange wise men from the east came and said, "Hey, there's some light shining in your sky. There's a star that has risen that says the Messiah of the Jews has come. Do you know where he's at? Because you're the king of the Jews, so where is he?" And Herod had to go to all of his experts and ask them, "Well, hey, where is this supposed to be?" And presumably, they went to find the answer in scriptures. And eventually, they found it and gave it to him. And then Herod, as we know, decided that he was going to try and find that child, not for the sake of worshiping him, as he told the three wise men, at least as we hear it in the song, but instead so that he could eliminate a threat. So often as we look out into our world, and not just in the evening, we see a lot of darkness. We see things that frighten and alarm us. We see things that make us wonder if it's safe even to go outside at times, even in Lincoln. As we look at our world around us, it seems like freedom and faith are being challenged. It seems to us sometimes that the light that we proclaim in this time of year, and of all times this night, seems to be getting pretty dim. We may wonder, where is the light of Christ? I can't see it. Can you? But the answer to that question is that the light is always shining where it always has been, where God has promised that it would be. We may not see a light emanating from his body and his blood, but yet the light of Christ shines in the hearts and minds of those who receive his body and blood in faith, because they are receiving the light of Christ inside them. When the word of Christ is read from that lectern or preached from this pulpit, whoever it may be, the word of Christ shines its light into the world that we live in. When we go out from this place and share God's word, whether it's in reading and devotion or by sharing it with others, we have the opportunity to be ones who reflect that light of Christ out into the world where we live. You see, the light of Christ shines brightly. We may not be able to see it or perceive it with our human eyes. We may feel like it's even gone out. But nonetheless, God has promised that his light and his life will shine until the end of time when he comes back. And on that last day, that light will be apparent to all of us. The light that promises that you and I have been saved from our sins. The light that shines in our lives and has made us new. That light, my brothers and sisters, that light we celebrate going out into all of the world has come first to this place here, and it shines for you and it shines for me this night and always. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.